Hey, you guys can have a seat, but before we get out of this moment, I want to listen. I know that right now life is hard for some of us. And it's hard when life is hard to find a reason to praise, isn't it? Oftentimes, let's just be real and honest, and it's okay, but oftentimes our praise oftentimes is dictated by the circumstances we find ourselves in. And it's hard that even in those difficult times for some of us to wrangle up, Sammy, some praise within us. You know what I'm saying? That's what the devil does. He sneaks in and he wants to cloud and confuse us, that even though life is cloudy, he wants us to think where the sun's not shining, right? And it's hard sometimes. And I know that in this room, and I know that potentially even those of you that are watching us online today, that for some of you right now, it's just hard. So here's what we're going to do. Anthony, I hope you're okay with this. But this is family. And we ought to be here to bear one another's burdens. Are you with me there? We lift each other up, right? We encourage each other. We strengthen. So here's what I'm going to do. And if you would just be honest and say, you know what, Pastor? It's hard for me to praise right now. I'm in a rough patch. It's hard. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up where you're at, okay? Just stay standing. First of all, just let me let you know it's okay. It's okay to stand. And it's okay to admit, you know what? It's hard. It's hard. And I want you to know that God sees you today and he knows exactly your situation. And he cares. He cares for you. Now here's what I also know in this moment, that in a moment like this, the rest of the family rallies around those that are hurting. And so I'm going to ask those of you that see somebody standing to just go ahead and move towards them right now. Just go ahead and move towards them. Find somebody to pray with. Okay? And here's the deal. Hey, you don't have to know the situation. We have a young man back here that needs somebody to pray with him. Doug, right behind you. Thank you, guys. You don't have to know. You don't even have to know their name right now, but I just want the body of Christ to start praying right now, okay? Come on, just start praying. Praying over that person right now. Jesus, we come before you right now knowing that you're a God who hears us and you care for us, God. You care. If you care about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, do you not care more about us? Lord, when we hurt, your heart hurts. God, when we grieve, you grieve. When we weep, God, you weep with us. But God, the reality is you see things we don't and you know things. And so we place ourselves right now, God, in just this place of trusting you. And God, my prayer is that at the right time and in the right way, in your timing and in your way, God, would you break through every need represented in this room? Would you provide the answers that are needed, solutions that are being sought after? God, would you take away and ease hurts and pains that are present in our lives right now? God, wrong emotions or thoughts, maybe negative views of ourselves, God, would you correct those things that need to be corrected as well? And would you restore? Would you bring healing, God? God, would you remind us that you're not finished? Would you remind us today, God, that nothing is impossible for you? And God, would you just remind us that even when we can't trace your hand, meaning when we don't know why things are happening, we can still trust your heart. We trust because we know that you work all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. The reality is we can't control life. But God, we come to the one who can change things. And we pray for you to move and intervene right now. In the mighty, awesome name of Jesus. Now, before you leave that person, just ask them their first name so that you can remember them to pray for them. Just ask their first name. Everybody that's surrounded them, ask their first name. Ask them what their first name is so that you can pray for them this week, okay? And then you guys can have a seat. Thank you for that. Hey, it's good to be a part of a community that cares, is it not? Isn't it good to pray for one another and lift each other up? And that's what we're here for. That's why we exist. And hey, if we can't encourage one another and lift each other up, Levi, in a setting like this, I don't know if it'll happen anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? This ought to be a safe place to be transparent and vulnerable. So thank you guys for letting us come alongside and pray with and encourage one. And even those of you that are watching us online, hey, listen, if there's something that we can partner with you in prayer, please send a note right now in that chat bar and let us know how we can pray and come alongside of you, because we care as well. We want you to experience the presence of God in your situation also. Right, church? We want you to experience the presence of God in your life as well. And so we would be honored to pray with you. Hey, listen, today is, and this next Sunday is, as Pastor Angie alluded to, just I'm calling it awakening. It's time for us to awaken. I think the church of Jesus Christ has been asleep too long. I really do. And please hear my heart today. You guys only have to listen for 30 minutes, but I've wrestled with these words for weeks and months, and the Lord has done a work in my life. And so I want to share with you some things that I've been convicted of, things that have been not a perspective shift, but a good reminder of how I should be thinking and what I need to be focusing on. But I really believe that we need an awakening in our nation today. Listen, we are not at a shortfall of good preachers in America, are we?
No.
In fact, or biblical resources at your fingertips, right? I mean, I grew up in a day and a time in which even for research papers, we had to go to a Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Remember those? But now all the information we need is right at our fingertips. I don't even have to touch my phone. I can just say, hey, Siri, tell me, and it squirts it out, right? And my concern is that even in America, we're not at a shortfall of great teachers or preachers. In fact, I don't know why you guys are physically in the building here today, because you could Google and watch Furtick or other people like that that could preach circles around, you know, Shrek, you know? And so... But you're here, and so I might as well make the most of this opportunity. Here's what I want to begin to encourage us with and give you permission in this house, or to give us permission in whatever house you're connected with. I think, and I shared this with you guys when I came back, Pastor Angie and I came back from sabbatical this summer. The Lord messed us up in a good way, and it's your fault for sending us, okay? But the Lord showed me that the next major revival is going to be accompanied with signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen.
I think we've talked enough in America, and there's not going to be a lack of great teachers and preachers. But for some reason, can we just be honest with ourselves today? For some reason, the numbers of people saying yes to Jesus is not going up, it's declining. Places of worship where people who are blown away by the goodness demonstrated by God in their lives, they're empty chairs all in those places today, right? And the enemy is stealing our thoughts. He's killing and destroying us. And I just think that it's a time is now needed where it's not just a bunch of talking heads, But it's about a group of people that have been saved and restored, redeemed, transformed. It's time for us to put Christ on display. And I just believe that those things and the greatest gospel preaching these days is going to be accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. Now you need to hear my heart. You can't force those things. You can't. And you can't fake them. You can't manufacture those things. But I just can't help but think, and when I look at Scripture, and when I see in the early church, listen, these people were devoted daily to the apostles' teachings. They met together daily in the temple courts. They met together in their houses. They were sharing communion, the Lord's Supper, together. They were selling their possessions. They were taking care of each other's needs. They were laying hands on each other and praying for one another. But you cannot escape that with all of that, which is what the church should be about today, they also were out in the city streets, and there were signs and wonders and miracles that supported everything that they heard or read about. Are you with me today? Please hear my heart. You can't force it. You can't manufacture, because we all have seen some fakeness as well, right? We've seen fake stuff, right? But I just want to give us permission. I'm not forcing this, but can we just, I want to give us all permission to seek God in all of his fullness. I want everything that God has for my life and for yours. And you can call me crazy, but I believe everything I read about in Scripture. If God wants to talk through Balaam's donkey, come on, read through the Bible this year. He can do that. Right? If that's what he wants to do. If he wants to part the Red Sea and let people walk across on dry ground and wipe out the bad guys, he can do that. Right? I believe it all. And so, rookie, I want everything that God has for us. And so I just want to give you permission to seek the fullness of God. I think every pastor in America would want that, Ray. I want a church that's seeking everything that God has for them. Now, I don't want us to fake it till we make it. And I don't want to force it, because I also grew up, what was a turnoff to me for years with this, were people trying to force it down my throat. You've got it. No. You need to know that we believe that once you say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God enters your body. Now, to what level you allow his spirit dominance in your life, that is up to you. But you have him right now, believer. You have Jesus' spirit power in you, right? Will you let him just rise up to a greater level? Can we go a little bit, can we go to a whole nother level, as Ed Young Jr. would say? Can we go to a whole nother level with the Lord? Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that in your life. Hey, would you begin to pray bigger prayers than you've ever prayed before? Hey, would you step out in boldness and courage to have a conversation with somebody about their spiritual destiny? Hey, could you begin to serve somebody that is just hard for you? You know that I'm talking about, that person that secretly you're really hoping maybe they don't make it to heaven. Come on, some of y'all can think of some people right now. Lord, I'll be okay if it, shame on us, right? Hey, would you begin to maybe use your finances for God's glory? Hey, you'll never hear a preacher in America say, guys, I need you to stop giving. We have more than enough. Yes. Never hear that. But you find that in Scripture, right? Moses said, hey, listen, you guys have got to quit bringing stuff for us to build this house, because we have more than enough, right? Let's not be afraid. Hey, you sitting down for this? Let's not be afraid for God to give us a different language when we pray. And let's not be afraid if people start praying in a way that's between them and the Lord. That's between them and God. There is a spiritual gift of tongues, but that spiritual gift of tongues is meant for the edification of the church, and somebody must be present to interpret that for us so that we all can benefit from that. But I'm talking about in my own personal time. Man, you don't want to be near me. I'll record it, I guess, one day and just set up, and I start singing sometimes. Oof. And it's good, Brian. You heard some of it this morning, didn't you? Now, I just start sometimes just uttering. And doesn't the scripture say that sometimes when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit gives us things and prays on our behalf?
Yes.
Anyway, let's not be afraid of that. Don't be afraid if we see some people get healed physically. Don't be afraid if we see some demons cast out. Don't be afraid if we see some marriages that we thought were over restored. Don't be afraid if we see some prodigal kids, you know who I'm talking about, come to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Let's not be afraid of that. That, my friend, is the awakening that I want to be a part of. You with me, Doug? I want to be a part of that. I want to see a move of God like we've never seen before. And I'm telling you, we need it in America. We need it. Hey, those things that I just described to you, you go to a foreign country, that's the norm over there.
Yep.
Those people worship for half a day.
Yep.
They're not worried about where they're getting bread to eat. They're there in the heat. They believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. They're praying and yelling and screaming and bouncing and jumping. They'll come down to the front for the mosh pit whenever worship is happening, and they'll get crazy, right? Right? It's okay to become a little undignified for him. Amen?
Yeah.
And you've been hooting and hollering all weekend for March Madness, and you got jacked up at the Super Bowl for your team, and some of y'all are excited because there's been some trades made to your favorite NFL team, right? Can we get a little undignified and excited about Jesus? Amen? And a move of God in our nation. Now, here's the deal. We have the answer. Do you guys believe that Jesus is the answer that our world needs? We have the word hope on our wrist here, and that's our word for the year. We believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. But the reality is, I don't know if our belief is matching our action. I was reading some things on the intranets. It'll mess you up. You gotta be careful what you read on the internet, right? I don't know what Mr. Gore was doing when he created that, but it can mess you up. But I was reading about a pastor that doesn't even believe in a literal hell. I read about another pastor that says, hey, we need to get rid of using the words saved and born again because culture doesn't understand that. A well-known Christian blogger literally does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, I was with a group of pastors last week, and one of them were sharing statistics like this. 47% of Christians in America believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, did you hear that? Let me say that again. 47% of Christians in America believe in a bodily resurrection of Jesus. How can you be a Christian and not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus? That, Sarah, that should be 100% of us believe. If you don't believe that Jesus died and was buried in the grave and rose back to life, I don't know what hope you do have. I don't know what you're banking on for hope. You know, that it just happens. 47%. That even means that maybe some of those are preachers that don't believe in that. If that statistic is accurate, 6% of our population believe that Jesus rose from the grave. So that's why I'm gonna show up Easter Sunday and I'm gonna preach my guts out. It's gonna be crazy. In fact, that's the name of Easter Sunday here, crazy. Just get ready, just give me grace. Just, if you hang in there with me, it'll be worth it, I promise. But listen, if we don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we take communion, symbolic of the broken body and the blood shed, I don't know what you're placing your hope in. You know what I'm saying? We need a move of God. We need revival. Hey, do you believe that America needs a spiritual awakening?
Yes, absolutely.
We do believe that. We believe that America needs a spiritual awakening. My concern is that we're more concerned about who's in the White House than what's happening in God's house. I met with a pastor last week also that said, I lost a dear friend in our church over the last year. And this gentleman was a $1 million contributor to our budget. I said, what'd you do? How'd you make a friend so mad, right? He said, I simply preached God's word. And his interpretation of God's word didn't match his politics. And so therefore he got offended because the word didn't fit in his box of his political beliefs. America needs a spiritual awakening, right? I want to look at a passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You guys are quite familiar with this. But this is God speaking to a nation, pointing his finger at them and reminding them of some things that he saw happening within them that were off. They'd forgotten who he was. They'd forgotten what he had called them to be about and do, right? And we find these words in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Says, if my people, those two words are important, my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Guys, listen, what America needs is a spiritual answer, not a political one. And we need to get back to the place where we as God's people are living the lives that we should. This verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is written to what we would call now probably believers. Those that have said yes to Jesus, those people who are Christians. You see, in this word here, the problem is not with unbelievers. The challenge is not for lost people to get their act together. It's not for, hey, they need to correct their thinking and vote the right way. No, God says, my people. That would be today, the church. And he says, hey, listen, church, if you want to see me move, if you want to see a spiritual awakening, if you want revival to happen, listen, I've got some things I want to encourage you with. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will seek my face, if they will pray, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, then I'm going to hear from heaven and I will move and I will bring healing to their land. You see, these words are for us, church. You guys just declared we believe that Jesus is the answer. He's the hope of the world. Statistics say that a lot of us don't believe that. And listen, let's just be gut honest today. Houses of worship are filled with people that think they're in, they think they're saved, but the reality is they're not. We wonder why more of our friends aren't coming to know Jesus. We wonder why there are empty seats in houses of worship, or unbelievers are wondering, hey, where is Jesus on display in our culture today? Because I think they look at us so oftentimes and they don't see the difference that Christ has made in us. Am I talking to anybody today? It's hard. I did read something good on the internet, a quote by Ann Graham Lotz. Ruth was her mom, Ann Graham Lotz, that I believe sums up what I believe is the key for us seeing a spiritual awakening in our culture today. Ruth Graham Lotz says this, draw a circle, Ann Graham Lotz. Revival will begin when you draw a circle around yourself. And then when you begin to ask God to make everything in that circle right. I don't know about you, but I have been guilty a time or two in my short, brief lifetime on this earth to say, God, listen, I pray for that person. They're jacked up. Would you just change them? Or God, hey, that country, there's so much civil unrest. God, would you just bring revival? Hey, God, would you pray for, and I'm so good about praying for other people that I think are flawed, broken, jacked up, when in reality is, I need to start right here in this circle. In fact, I wish we could give every one of you Sharpie markers today and just draw a circle on the floor, but our facilities team would be severely upset with me right now. And we worked hard all day yesterday cleaning this house. Amen. And by the way, those of you that showed up to clean, spring clean and get ready for Easter, thank you guys so much. And you guys are a blessing. I saw some of you walking around like this today, just in pain. That's okay. Jehovah Rapha, he can heal anything. Amen. Hallelujah. But I need to draw a circle around me. He just affirmed that. Okay, I hear you, Lord. Thunder just erupted outside. I hear you.
Wow.
I don't know what to say now. Oh, go ahead and laugh at me. Go ahead. But it's true, isn't it? That instead of us praying for God to move in other people's lives, what would happen, guys, if we begin to pray for God to move in us? You see, I believe that that's where revival has to start. The awakening that we long for God to do in our nation has to start with us and in us. Church, what would happen if we got right with Him? David the psalmist would write things like this: "Search me, O God, know my heart. See if there is any wicked way within me." Be careful what you pray, right? But what would happen? You see, I believe that that's the key for spiritual awakening to happen. And I like to use the phrase spiritual awakening because we need to wake up, church, to the reality of where we're at and what's happening. Listen, when you read about the first church in history, that church in the book of Acts, man, we know some things about them, do we not? Man, they were a Bible teaching, gospel preaching, praying, obedient group of people, were they not? They were. They were out there. And I love these words in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, a resurrected Jesus. By the way, we do believe that Jesus died and was buried in a grave and after 3 days rose from the grave. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And for those of you that have said yes to Him, check this out. You carry a piece of Him in you. Over 50 days, some 100 different appearances to individuals, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, makes Himself known, and He gives His disciple some words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before His final ascension into heaven. Jesus told His disciples this: "You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Yes. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, when I said just a few moments ago about walking in the power of Christ and letting His power control and dominate, you already have it in you. Listen, you need not be afraid of it, because there is something incredible that happens when we let the Holy Spirit of Christ take over. There's power. Jesus says, you guys will have that power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, and you're going to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we know that those disciples went to Jerusalem as they were commanded to. We know that they joined a group. There were about 120 of them in an upper room praying. When Acts chapter 2 happens, day of Pentecost, And the Holy Spirit shows up just like he said he would. Hey, listen, you can trust that God will keep his word. And if he says, I will come back one day, friend, make no mistake about it, he will come back. Are you going to be ready? Jesus is coming. I'm not putting a date on it, but he's coming. Okay? He came and met those 120 in the room, and the power overtook them. And they weren't content just to sit in that room, but what we find is they got out of that room. We know that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. We know that they worshiped together daily in the temple courts and from house to house, as I said, sharing communion and meals together. We know that they oftentimes sold their possessions and took care of each other's needs. I believe that they did what we did today. I believe they prayed over each other as there were needs in their lives. They did those things, but you cannot escape the fact that they also got out of this holy huddle and they begin to go and tell people everywhere about Jesus. Power, Holy Spirit power at work in them, causing them to step out and do things, well, without the power you might not do. Hey, Yvonne, can I use you for a moment? Hey, do you mind coming up here? Hey, do you have a microphone somewhere? Yvonne shared with me a story a week or two ago, and I told her, hey, be ready. I don't know when I'm going to have you. Just come stand in the light right here.
Okay.
You're really mad at me right now, aren't you?
No.
I want you to hear about Holy Spirit power. Can you quickly articulate what happened to you recently?
Yes.
And you being obedient.
Okay. A couple of Fridays ago, some friends and I were driving home from Comfort, and it was about 9:30 at night. And we were on I-10, so of course we were going 75. And I told my friends, did y'all see that on the side of the road? And they said, no, what? I said, there was somebody on the side of the road and it looked like they were crying and they were on their knees. They were wearing a hoodie and they were like, no, go back, go back. So I said, okay, okay. So I turn around and we go back and I pull over and I'm driving about 50. And just as we were saying, well, where are they? And I'm, you know, praying in my head. And they're like, I don't know. Maybe I didn't really see someone. I don't know. And just as I was going to start to speed up, I look in my rear view and there's somebody chasing my car. And so I stop and my friend says, tell them to come to the other side. So they go around to the other side and she rolls her window down just a little bit. And it's a young girl and she's 14 years old. And she said that she was tired and she was cold and she just wanted to go back. And we didn't know what she meant. And my friend said, do you want us to call the police? And she said, yes. So I get on the phone with 911. And in the meantime, they're having a conversation. The sheriff's officer, you know, comes up and we're talking to her. And after the conversation, I couldn't hear the whole conversation because I was on the phone with the dispatcher. And after that, my friend Dondi said that the little girl had run away from the retreat, which is a home for girls. She was in CPS custody and had been taken from her parents from Corpus, but she was tired and she just wanted to go back.
Mm.
And she was about to end her life. She was going to run into traffic because nobody was stopping for her. And she said, I don't even believe in God, but I said, God, can you please just send someone? And then y'all stopped. And so when I'm thinking back, the police officer said, we've been looking for her all night. I don't know how y'all saw her because we've driven up and down this road 3 or 4 times and have not spotted her at all. So I don't know who saw her. And my friend Dondi's like, Yvonne saw her. And when I think back, I swear there was like this light shining down on her. And obviously I didn't know, but I swear it was just this bright light shining on her. So,
wow. Thank you for sharing that. Come on, somebody. Hey, I wanted you to hear that because this is just, her name is Serenity.
Her name was Serenity.
A normal believer. But in a moment empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to see, turn around, come back, and find someone. right? Obedience, that's it. It's obedience. It's obeying the Holy Spirit's prompting. And we like to say, obey the Spirit promptly. Yes. Delayed obedience is actually disobedience. But guys, these are the things that happen in a church, in a people that are filled and walking under the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only are you made aware of things around you that are off, but check this out. You step out in boldness and in confidence, and you step out and let God use you. I'm sure you felt a little awkward doing that. Interesting. Law enforcement had been searching and couldn't find her. But a child of God tuned into the Spirit saved a young girl's life. You read that in Acts. You read that these people were not afraid. You read that their lives were in danger, but yet they still continued to walk in boldness. They just believed that Jesus was the answer. Hey, church, do we want to see revival break out? Do we want to see a spiritual awakening take place in America? It starts in this circle. You heard heaven affirm that just a few moments ago. It starts here, and it starts in yours and in your circle. Your circle, your circle. Hey, it starts in yours. Hey, start Sydney, it starts in your circle. Lisa, your circle. Randy, don't be praying for God to fix everybody else. He's got to fix you. And Amanda told me there's a lot of fixing to do there. That's when we'll see awakening. Awakening happens and revival breaks out. Are you with me today? People need the hope that is found in Jesus. And we are to tell them that's our responsibility, is to tell them about the hope we profess. And so I want to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes today. And I want you just to begin to pray and ask God. Ask Him for His Spirit to rise up within you at a greater capacity than ever before. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of the life that Jesus calls you to live. Guys, don't be embarrassed about how you might demonstrate that. He's with you. He's going to provide everything you need to best represent Him. I'm praying for the fire of Christ to rise up within every one of us, for courage, that we would remember He told us to be strong and courageous, right? Do not be terrified. Will you step out in boldness and take a brightly colored egg and just say, hey, I want to invite you to come and see and hear about Jesus. Will you stand up this week and look and live a little bit differently than people around you? At school? Hey, what about at work? Will people notice the Jesus difference in you? How about the words you use this week? Will they build others up, encourage people, and point them to your Savior? Or will they be just like the rest of the world's, destructive, hurtful? Hey, what would happen if we begin to think the best of other people and see them as objects that Jesus died for on the cross? Hey, He didn't just die for you, but He died for the world. And what would happen if we begin to see people through that lens, the gospel lens? For God so loved the world. Church, can we be different? Yeah, revival, that I believe is heaven's desire, but it's got to start in us. Hey, I believe that Easter can be a harvest like we've never experienced before, but it starts with us right now. We prepare ourselves and ask God to work in us. The harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. Lord, do a work in us first. We're reminded of the 5.5 billion that don't know you. Lord, there is a lot of opportunity ahead of us. And Father, would you forgive us as the blood-bought and the redeemed, the church, your bride? Would you forgive us for being lazy or being fearful? And God, may we be reminded today from a group of 120 people who took serious the Holy Spirit's power within them, Lord, and because of their faithfulness and their courage and their won't stop attitude, well, that's the reason we're here today. Lord, because of their response to your prompting years ago, that's why I say yes to Jesus as a 9-year-old, hundreds and hundreds of years after you poured out your Spirit on them. God, may America see that again. And Lord, instead of us praying for revival to happen somewhere, God, would you start it in us? Lord, awaken our soul. Wake up, church. Nap time's over. It's time for us to go in the power and the authority of our Savior, Jesus, and share with a broken, hurting world the hope that we have. So, Lord, that's my prayer as we leave this house today and as we go our separate ways. May others look at us and see you in us. May the words that come from our mouth, Lord, be the very words of heaven. May the way that we treat others, God, be exactly the way that Jesus would treat people. And God, when others ask us, hey, what is it about you? How do you find so much joy? May we be quick to give them the answer. Ah, that's my Jesus. Can I tell you about him? So, Lord, I'm praying this week would be a city set on a hill, a lamp on a lampstand. May we be salt as we go about bringing God flavors to the world around us. All the while, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Can we just celebrate and thank God today? Amen. Hey, listen, a couple of things before you leave. First of all, if you have children, don't forget them. This is not a lock-in, okay? You have to take your kids home today, okay? And but I also want to encourage you to stop by our serve wall out here and find a way that you can get on the team for Easter. And let us get you equipped and prepared and give you an assignment as we open the doors and welcome people here. And I am praying above all this week that we would be, well, the bride that Jesus dreamed we'd be. Amen. Be sensitive to people around us that are hurting and broken and step in and meet those needs. Amen. So stand up and you're dismissed in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.